This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله والشكر لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا رسول الله وبعد. So we've been at this for the last few weeks, studying and setting the ground for the start of the seerah. Because we started from the time of our father Ibrahim alayhi salam, then the time of Ismail, then Jurhum, then Khuza'a, and then Quraysh, and then we are kind of in that era of the Quraysh, and then we discussed last week Abdul Muttalib, which was the discovery of Zamzam, the oath to sacrifice his son, and then finally the army of the elephants. And as I normally start, just to recap a little, who was the father of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Abdullah. MashaAllah, you guys are getting really good at this, huh? So the father is Abdullah. The grandfather is Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib's father is Hashim. Hashim's father is Abdul Manaf. Abdul Manaf's father is Qusay. Right? So it is important to kind of know this. And all this is to kind of set the scene. So we have been armed with a bit of information. But knowledge requires us to dive a bit deeper. And today we are going to go and touch on some of the issues that we covered and look at it at another layer, insha'Allah ta'ala. Because now we have reached the end of the event of the elephants. So the army came, a huge army came. Allah Rabbul Izzah destroyed the army. And now we are about 50 days away from the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is important to take a breath and dive in a bit deeper at some of these key bits so that, you know, our level of appreciation grows and we understand the plans of the Dhul Arsh al-Majid and try to draw some lessons from that in our own lives, inshaAllah ta'ala. So, usually before something big happens, its signs start to appear. Its signs start to appear. In English, they call it signs. In Arabic, they call it irhasat. And it comes from the verb rahasa, as in it's been given permission and allowed to be announced. So some of the irhasat that a prophet is to come, or a big change is about to come, although we have studied the facts, now we will go to look at it from a different perspective, inshallah. And we'll start just with the nearest one first. So the first one to us is just the event of the elephant. Let's look at this a little bit deeper. The faith of the Quraysh is what? What do they believe in? They are pagans. They are idol worshippers. They worship stones, superstitions. And they have filled the Kaaba with these as well. So the scholars say there were some 360 idols packed inside the Kaaba and around the Kaaba. And shirk is the most abhorrent thing to the Lord, to Allah Rabbul Izzah. And Allah Rabbul Izzah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. Allah Rabbul Izzah will not forgive the sin of shirk and will forgive anything else after that for whomsoever he chooses. Meaning that if you die having not repented and you stand in front of the court of the Dhul Arsh al-Majid, other things he can forget. He can forgive, Allah forbid, he can forgive. But shirk he won't forgive. But this doesn't mean that if you've committed shirk and you make tawbah and turn to Allah Rabbul Izzah, Allah Rabbul Izzah doesn't accept it. This is not the understanding. So point is that the Quraysh were committing the worst of the wrong deeds. Luqman says to his children, يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. O my sons, don't commit shirk with Allah. It is a grave sin before the Dhul Arsh al-Majid. It is a huge wrong you're doing on yourselves and on others. And the Quraysh were busy doing that. The Quraysh were mushriks. The army that had come was Abyssinian Christians. Now between mushriks and Christians, which one is the preference? Christians, the Ahlul Kitab. Although it's a different Christianity, a modified version to what Jesus left, or Isa alayhi salam left, but as a whole, they are Christians. So this army of Christianity comes in the sanctuary of the King of Kings, and yet, and shirk is there, and the Quraysh are there, and the idols are there, and yet the Dhul Arsh al-Majid and Fa'alul Lima Yurid destroys the army of Christianity. Have you ever thought about it? Huh? Like if you think, was it because of the Quraysh? No, the Quraysh had committed a lot more wrong. Is it because of what's in the house? They have filled the house with shirk. Do you understand me? They have filled it with idols. They have done enough fasad on the earth. It would have been warranted for the Abyssinians to come and annihilate them, like it would have made some kind of sense, you know. But Allah Rabbul Izzah sends the army in disarray and destroys it. And this is the first or the biggest of the irhasat, the biggest of the signs. And at a level where signs matter, because signs are not, it requires a deeper understanding. Because Allah Rabbul Izzah says that وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. The issue of the signs and the unpacking of that information is not a science for everyone. Allah Rabbul Izzah knows what is happening, and He opens it to those that are deep inside the knowledge. So the scholars mention this as the first sign. Why is it a sign? It shows that there's no need for an external intervention. The status quo of Mecca will change. The idols will be removed. The city will be cleansed. The Quraysh will change faith. They don't need to be destroyed. And further, it is a preservation of the life and the legacy of the Prophet to come, because his legacy is here. So this was the first of the signs, or the biggest of, or one of the most prominent of the signs. The other we studied was the discovery of Zamzam. Now look back at Zamzam. Zamzam was given to Ismail and Hajar. And it was given on the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and their own dua naturally, because they must have asked Allah Rabbul Izzah for provisions when they're looking for water. So Allah Rabbul Izzah gifted them Zamzam as a gift for the people of Tawheed. Do you understand me? They're muwahids, they're the ones who turned to Allah Rabbul Izzah alone. They made that huge sacrifice. They came here, why? لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, so that we can establish salah here. So Allah Rabbul Izzah blessed them with this water. And then Jurhum came. And towards the latter part of Jurhum, Jurhum introduced Isaf and Naila. Remember the two idols that committed the wrong. So when that came, after that, Jurhum was forced to leave and Zamzam disappeared, even though at their own hands. And this is the sunnah of the Dhul Arsh al-Majid, that at times he punishes you with your own hands. Yeah, they destroyed their houses. بِأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَيْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Do you understand me? So the Jurhum buried with their own hands Zamzam, because But from another perspective, Allah took it from them. So sometimes the sinner doesn't recognize, but Allah Rabbul Izzah uses your own limbs and thought and process to limit you and punish you and discipline you. So Jurhum lost Zamzam, and Zamzam is synonymous with Tawheed. So Allah Rabbul Izzah kept it hidden all the way until a prophet was about to come. Do you understand? So this is the second of the signs. You know, it's like an elderly grandfather of yours walks with an asa. And he opens the door and his asa comes first, then he comes in himself. So that when the asa comes, the sign of the grandfather has arrived. You know, he's coming. So when Zamzam came, Tawheed is coming. Do you understand? So this was the second of the signs. Number one, the status quo is going to change, inshallah. And here again, Zamzam is a reformation and confirmation for those that have the ability to see that, you know, change is coming. Change is coming. Then the next one. So now let's look at Amina and Abdullah. So Abdullah, and subhanallah, you know, for those that can think, it could have been Abdullah, it could have been Abdul Uzza, it could have been, but no, not for the father of the Prophet of Allah. He will be Abdullah, the exclusive slave of Allah. So Abdullah was destined to be killed. Not distant, his lot came out that he should be killed. Sah? So they sacrificed 100 camels for him. You don't remember the story, yeah? We did it. So 100 camels are sacrificed to ransom Abdullah. Now he is ransomed. The scholars of Sirah say he lived with his wife for less than a week. And some say just 3 days they were together. Just 3 days. And then he goes to Yathrib. And others say he was on his way to Sham and stopped over at Yathrib. But irrespective, the whole role of this man seems to have been just to plant the seed in the womb of Amina and then move off the pages of history. But had the 100 camels not happened, it wouldn't have been much of a sign. But Allah, but you know, a huge thing happened, but only lived a little bit after it and then moved off. And the scholars of Sirah mention a lot of other signs and real, you know, tangible ones, but there's no sanad for it. So I don't want to go too much into it, but for these ones established. And then this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, beautiful hadith. They asked him about himself. So he said, Salawatu Rabbi wa Salamuhu alayhi. He said, I am the dua of my father Ibrahim. Remember the dua Ibrahim alayhi salam made? Wab'ath fihim rasulam minhum yatlu alayhim. O Allah, raise amidst from them a prophet from amidst them. And he didn't say prophets, and he said a prophet. Raise from them a Rasul. So the Prophet said, I am that dua, you know, that Ibrahim alayhi salam made. That's me. And then Isa alayhi salam says, وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِن بَعْدِ إِسْمُهُ Ahmad. And I give you the glad tidings of one to come after me, his name will be Ahmad. So the Prophet said, and I am the glad tiding that my brother Isa gave. Because Isa alayhi salam, he's coming. And then he said, I am the dream of that my mother had. So the dream of the mother, Amina, is that, and the scholars define the word of the hadith, define, and you know, the hadith is in many books of the hadith. So she's one qawl is that when she's pregnant, she saw a dream. And the dream was that from her, a light shone to the heavens and brightened all the way to Basra or to Sham, to Syria or, you know, what was old Sham or the areas of Jordan, that type of place, towards that side. And the other version of the same hadith is that upon his birth, a light shone out from her that went, that then she saw the palaces of Syria through it, like with the light. So he says, I am the dream that my mother had. And subhanAllah, one of the first places that got, that fell under Islamic rule from Sham was the city of Busra. Consistent with the dream that this, you know, the light that is coming out, and the Prophet is light. Like light, not as in light in creation, light in his guidance, and light in the faith, and the and you know, clarity that he brought to the world in his sunnah, in his practice. So قَدْ جَاءَكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ نُورٍ. Nur here is in reference to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and consistent with the dream of the mom as well. You know, light shone, and the light would go all the way to there. So he says, I am the dream my mother had. So this was the third of the irhasat, that she had a vision that whatever's inside me, you know, like a huge light comes with this. And light, you can interpret it metaphorically as you choose. And Hassan ibn Thabit, who's the poet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam later on in Medina, Hassan ibn Thabit says, I remember when I was young, you know, in my younger days, because where's Hassan? Hassan is in Medina. We will cover it later on. So when the Prophet eventually migrates to Medina, Hassan ibn Thabit is the poet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say about him that he radiyallahu anhu arda lived for 60 years before Islam and 60 years in Islam. So how old? 120. So he lived a good long life, mashallah, and he's older than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam age-wise, but you will never guess it when you study the seerah. He's older than the Prophet age-wise. They say, ala ikhtilafi ahli al-ilm, that he was born in the 60th year before Hijrah. 60 years before Hijrah, and some say the 54th year before Hijrah. So either 1 year older than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or a few years older than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But irrespective, he says, I remember in Medina, in Yathrib, because there were Jewish tribes in Yathrib. He goes, one of the rabbis came out and excitedly called out, O children of Israel, look, the star of Ahmad is born. The star of Ahmad is born. And they had in their own books that preceded signs that they were anticipating that a prophet is coming. So back to the story of Abdullah. So Abdullah either went to Sham or went to Yathrib. Amina is back in Mecca and she's pregnant. So the caravan had to go, and Abdullah had to stay behind. A little while later, news came that he has died. So the scholars say he died younger than 25. Young man, he's just, you know, just came out from a huge trial where he was supposed to be killed. So he's reached, you know, the level of manhood, and then got married and died pretty soon afterwards. So that is the end of the story of Abdullah. He is buried in the areas of Banu Najjar in Medina. There's a street called Sultana there, near that. Amina is pregnant here in Mecca. And obviously the sadness and the, you know, the grief. Her young bride, husband died, now she's pregnant with his child. And then the big fear came, which was the event of the elephants. So the elephants came, she watched the elephants from the mountainsides. And some 50 days after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is born. When is he born? He is born in the year of the elephant, the same year that the elephants attacked. And this is how the Arabs recorded their history, around great events or great personalities. So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know for a fact that he was born in the year of the elephant. As with regards to the day, we know the day as well, like the day of the week. We know he's born on a Monday because he himself told us. They asked him, why do you fast on Mondays? So he said, I was born in this day and in this revelation came to me. So we know he sallallahu alaihi wasallam is born on a Monday and he's born in the year of the elephant. And the majority of the scholars are of the belief that he is born in Rabi' al-Awwal. After this, there's an array of opinions. There's an array of opinions. So from the scholars are those who say he was born on the 2nd of Rabi' al-Awwal, and a great majority who say he was born on the 8th of Rabi' al-Awwal, and a stronger one who says he was born on the 9th of Rabi' al-Awwal, and others who say he was born on the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal. But the famous one amidst people has become the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, simply because, somewhere in history, someone decided to celebrate the birthday of the Prophet and they chose the 12th to celebrate it. So this kind of continued as the day that is most famous. But the strongest opinion on the matter is that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is born on the 9th. Although there's ikhtilaf amidst the Ahlul Ilm on this, but this doesn't affect our faith or anything that way. It is a day. Now, when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is born, so if you look at the second version of the same hadith, as the mom is, the Rasul is being born, the mom says, a light shone out of me through which I saw the palaces of Sham. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is born. And the first lady to suckle him, to breastfeed him, is, subhanallah, is the slave of his uncle Abu Lahab. And her name is Thuwayba. So she breastfed him and then gave him to the mom and ran to the uncle and said, your nephew is born, the son of Abdullah. So he was so happy that he pointed to her that you were freed. You're emancipated. And in Arab culture, and happens in other cultures, when you bring good news to someone, they usually give you a gift. Or sometimes give you a gift. And depending on what your level is, you know, some say, whatever's in my hand, I will give it. So if he's got, you know, sometimes you wait till he's got his car keys in his hand and then you give him the good news, you know, so he can give you that. And others, so for Abu Lahab, he celebrated by emancipating Thuwayba. And subhanAllah, in a hadith, in one of the books of hadith, and it is in Bukhari as well, one of his, so you know the story of Abu Lahab. You know, later on he turned out one of the greatest enemies of the Rasul. And he is the one who said, Tabbat yadaka ya Muhammad. And Allah Rabbul Izzah revealed, Tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tabma aghna anhumal. So he died in disbelief and he died in the punishment of Allah Rabbul Izzah. And then when he died, some of his family saw him in a dream after a while. And this is Abbas radiallahu anhu. Saw him in a dream and he saw him in difficulty. He saw him in difficulty in the dream. So Abu Lahab told him that, so he said, how are things? He goes, since I have left you guys, it's been nothing but bad, like it's in calamities, except that on Mondays, my punishment is reduced because I emancipated Thuwayba as a gift and rejoicement at the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So because for that moment I celebrated, you know, him and his coming, Allah Rabbul Izzah reduces my punishment a little bit on Mondays. And and other words of the same hadith, he points to here that I'm given water, meaning either a little bit of water on that day or water from between my thumb and my finger, like a, you know, some kind of drink. And our belief with regards to good deeds of believers is that Allah Rabbul Izzah will make it a cause of blessing for them in this life and a cause of goodness for them in the Akhirah. And as with regards to those who die in disbelief, our belief is that they will get the ajr, or they will get a compensation or recompense or some kind of accolade and prominence for their good deeds in this world, but it will not transfer to the Akhirah. Although the scholars believe that it could transfer to the grave and to the barzakh, but not to the Akhirah. So he's still in the grave, with regards to the other opinions on this, that no, it ends here in this, there is no issue with that for us, and we can respect all those opinions, inshallah ta'ala. This is the ikhtilaf amidst the Ahlul Ilm. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is born, salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi. Now, there are certain things that used to happen, but I do want to stop here for a moment. You will see through all of this and through the seerah that the people inside it are oblivious to the plans of Allah Rabbul Izzah. But Allah has a plan for them. And Allah has a plan for His Prophet. But in the same way, Allah Rabbul Izzah has a plan for each and every one of you here, my dear brothers and sisters. So sometimes there's ups in lives and sometimes there's down in lives. Rejoice, be confident that Allah Rabbul Izzah has a plan for you and Allah Rabbul Izzah will not let you go to waste. So when life gets difficult, bear it patiently and bear it with a lot of, good thoughts in yourself and in Allah Rabbul Izzah, that my Lord is in charge and I trust what He will do. And you will notice that a lot of times in life where you're in acute difficulty, just later on you look back and you go, oh, that was really good that it happened like that. I was listening to one of our great sheikhs, and he said, I was very poor in my early days. I was very poor in my younger days. So I couldn't afford to buy the books. So I used to go to the library and borrow the book. But because I had to return it back and I couldn't buy another book, the only thing to do was to memorize the information from the book. So I used to sit and memorize, and everyone else had the book. They never worried about memorizing and understanding it any deeper because they could always go back to the book. But I was forced to go to a higher level. And because of that, you know, it all added up over time and I became a bigger sheikh and bigger alim than all my contemporaries. So at the time, going through the difficulty, it was difficult, but Allah had a plan. But Allah, Rabbul Izzah, had a plan.